Turn, if you would, please, to the book of Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis chapter 1. I want to read one verse, and it is verse 1. Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." Due to the present political situation in our country, I nearly spoke to you on the subject of politics. I had hoped to offer some biblical insight and direction, but the Lord changed my mind. I will add to this, however, that this morning when I was reading my devotion, Proverbs chapter 14, verse 7 came to my attention. So just read Proverbs 14:7, see if that might apply. Anyway, the Lord changed my mind from the political stance. He did so for as unsettling as the political arena is, there are more things which may cause us to tremble. The economic landscape is no picnic either. Couple that with the crime in our community, the trouble in our schools, the unrest in our homes, and the troubles that we have in a personal sense, along with the general evil we see pervading our land, and there is much cause for concern. So instead of speaking politically, I thought it well to extend encouragement to you. To do this, I'm going to take a glimpse of God in which you should find hope. And at the same time, it is my prayer that those of you who are lost, that is, those of you who are here outside of Jesus Christ, you're not a Christian, I pray that you will see who God is and repent. Now, there are many aspects of God which I could address. As such, if you look into the Bible, you will recognize that there are different names given to God. For example, and along the same lines as my subject today, God is called Jehovah Shammah, meaning, the Lord is there. He is also called Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will provide. And in these we discover that we can turn to God with our troubles, and since He will never leave us nor forsake us, He is the one who can meet us in our need. What an encouragement. And these words today that I offer unto you are words of comfort, I trust, from God's Word that tells us about who God is, specifically that He is the Creator. A subject from which we can not only draw strength, but also learn how to respond properly to Him. May you find solace in the fact that God is our refuge. That's the title I give to this message today. Now, it might seem strange when you read Genesis 1:1, but the title of the message, God, Our Refuge. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, thank You for the day and the privilege of being in Your house. And we know that there are many who would love to be here who could not due to sickness and providential hindrance. And we ask that You would bless them and encourage them, strengthen them, heal them, and Lord, meet them in their needs. And yet we've come today in Your name to worship in spirit and in truth. And we know that You're with us today. We thank You for being here. Thank You for what You're going to do. And I ask that You would hear our prayers and meet the needs of our hearts. And we pray for the lost that they might be saved. And we pray for our church that You'd be pleased to add to our number. And Lord, cause us to be the witness that we ought to be. And let us be found true and faithful. And Lord, all the things that just beset our hearts, Lord, we cast them to Your feet. And so today is we might be troubled and some might be very perplexed about what we see in our society. Lord, help us to look to You. Let us find comfort in You. Let us flee to You because You are our refuge. And so, God, we pray that we might be encouraged from Your Word today, that You would meet these needs. And again, we pray for the lost that they might be saved. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. Well, Genesis 1:1 says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." And what I'd like to do is just notice a few points that we have that emanates from the passage today. It's very clear. It's a very simple text. But we find, first of all, that the existence of God is assumed in the Scripture and is declared. In the beginning, God. Simple fact. It's just a declaration. There's no proof of it. It's just a matter of this is who God is. He is there. And so, in the beginning, God. And I do believe with all my heart that God exists. And you know, the Word of God tells us that. In the beginning, God. But the second thing that emanates from this is that He existed prior to the universe. Now that might mess with our minds. We have a hard time understanding those kind of things because we are physical beings. We're located in space and time, and we're physical. It's just hard for us to connect with the idea. But it says, in the beginning, before anything else, it says God created the heavens and the earth. So before there was anything, God is the one that existed. And so He existed prior to anything that we know of today, anything within the universe. We understand that when you read the entire Scriptures and you study the Word of God and you study theology, we know that God is eternal. God has no beginning. God has no ending. God has always been. And God shall always be. And this is the God who was there in the beginning. And so God exists. God has always existed. But then point number three that emanates from this is that God created the universe and everything within it. We see it very clearly in the text. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Everything that we see, everything we're familiar with, it came into existence because God spoke it into existence. Three things emerge from this that I would like to remind you of briefly. Number one, this demonstrates His power and ability. I mean, this God, before there was just not anything, created. Everything that you see is spoken into existence. That's great power, is it not? That's great ability. And sometimes, and what we have in our society, people say that they believe in God, and they have a concept of the existence of God, but their God is a very small God. I mean, we're talking about a God that spoke everything into existence. Great power, great ability. But a second thing that emerges from this is it declares His sovereignty. God alone existed. He created the universe. That means everything in this universe is to be subordinate to Him. God is the sovereign God. God is the Creator. He can create however He wishes. He can make however He desires. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" God is the sovereign God. And there's only one God. He is the true God. And He is the all-powerful God. So God is the sovereign God. The third thing that emerges from this is the details of the origin of this universe. I believe that God created the heavens and the earth. The universe has not always existed. It was spoken into existence. And you know what? I believe in creation. I believe that God is the Creator. I believe that. And I know that there are evolutionary processes, but I do not for one second believe that evolution for the origin of things is a correct scientific approach. It just is not, and it definitely is not a biblical approach. Evolution for the origin of things is a heresy. God is the Creator. And that's what the Bible declares for us. Well, I mentioned there are some points here in this first verse. The last point is, I surmise the creation, and we've already addressed this in passing, but I surmise that the creation is subordinate to Him. Because God is sovereign, the creation is subordinate. I would add to that, the creation is to be subordinate. And so I, as a creature of God, you as a creature of God, should be subordinate to God. We do not have any right to say, "I'll do what I please." We don't have that liberty. God is God. God is sovereign. And my obligation is to always respond to Him properly and in obedience. Now, I don't always do that. But when I do that, I'm just saying, "Well, God, I think I can do more than You, even though You're God." That's a real problem, isn't it? And so we know we're sinners. We know we're going to deal with that thing that's within us. But truth of the matter is, we ought all to be subordinate to God. The creation is subordinate, and we as His creatures are subordinate to God. Now, those are things that I discern from the first verse. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, how is this an encouragement to me and to you? How can we demonstrate that God is our refuge from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1? Two propositions. One is God created, and so He is the Creator, God. The second proposition is the creation's response to the Creator. Those two things, I believe, will help you, will encourage you to respond to God as your refuge. To know who He is and respond properly to Him My, what a comfort that is. And so we hope to demonstrate that here this morning. But again, we wanted to emphasize and to solidify in our minds the fact that God is the Creator. We're not going to stay right here in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I want to remind you, first of all, turn, if you would, to the book of Revelation. And my point here in the message is God created. I do believe that. I already mentioned that. And I want to reaffirm it from the Word of God. God created. Several verses I'm going to ask you to turn to, some of which I will read to you as well as we demonstrate that God is the Creator. Over and over again in the Scriptures, you'll find that God is the one who made this place. And so, in Revelation chapter 10, I chose to start here. This is the angel down at the end who takes a little book and he swears and speaks some things. And he swears by the God. And he says in verse 6, Revelation 10, 6, the angel speaking, it says, "And it swear by him that lives," notice, "forever and ever." Now, of course, that's a reference to God, is it not? Here's the description then. "Who created heaven and the things that are there, that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer." Go, if you would, Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. But I remind you, what you just read there in Revelation chapter 10 is the angel of God makes a very clear understanding and declaration of who God is, that God made everything that we see. And even the things we don't see, because there's so much of the universe we don't even have a glimpse of yet. But everything that's in the heavens, God has made. Everything in the earth, God has made. God created the heaven and the earth, as we read in our text. Isaiah chapter 42. And I'm going to keep you in Isaiah in a little bit as I read a few other verses along the way, just because it's easier and simpler because you're already there. But in Isaiah chapter 42 and in verse 5, it says, "Thus saith God the Lord, He that created the heavens and stretched them out, He that spreadeth forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, He that giveth breath unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walketh therein, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness." And so there's a call from God, the Creator, to righteousness and to for us to evangelize, because we ought to be a light to the Gentiles. You can read that in verse 6. But notice the declaration that God says of Himself there in verse 5. "I stretched out the heavens and I formed it, and I everything that's involved with that." God is the Creator, is He not? Listen, if you will, to Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel. Saith the Lord, which stretcheth forth the heavens, and layeth the foundations of the earth, and formeth the spirit of man within him." This universe exists because God causes it to exist. He spoke it into existence. And by the way, we see the implication, which you can go back and read in Genesis, how God made man from the dust of the ground. But God formed the spirit of man within him. You live today only because a sovereign God has given you physical life. And you continue to breathe and you continue to exist because God continues to allow you as a sovereign God to give breath to you so that you can exist in this world. My life, my breath is in the hands of a sovereign God. And when my sovereign God says it's time for me to die, then I'm going to die. I cannot avert from that war, Ecclesiastes says. And I'm going to die. I cannot stop it. And you can't stop it either. When God says it's up because God is a sovereign God. He gives breath, He takes breath. But that's who God is, a sovereign God, the powerful God of the universe. You're there in Isaiah. Go over a few chapters to chapter 44. Isaiah 44. Verse 24. "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and He that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord, and maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." No one helped him. He did it by himself. He stretched forth the heavens. He established the earth. That's who God is. Psalm 104, verse 2, the last part of the verse says, "Who stretcheth out heavens like a curtain." And so God made all that we know. Chapter 45, Isaiah. Just look down a few verses. Isaiah 45, verse 18. For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is only one true God, my friend, and He is the sovereign God of the universe, and He is indeed the Creator. But as I think about this matter that God created the universe, and we saw very clearly in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, I also would remind you the Scripture tells us that Jesus is the agent in creation. Let me share with you John chapter 1, verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. God created using His Son as the agent. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17 says, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." Notice that last sentence. By Him all things consist. Not only did God create the universe, but it continues to exist because God makes it to continue to exist. The molecules that make up this pulpit, and it's solid, and I can put my hands upon it, and I can knock upon it, and you can see it, and we can paint it, and we could cut it, and we could do things like that. The reason it stays like that is because God, the sovereign God, keeps the molecules exactly where it's supposed to be. This is wood, and this is what it's going to do. But a God at any time can say, "Now I'm finished with that," and the molecules would just fly apart. They would. By Him all things consist. And so not only does God create the universe, but God continues to consist the universe. That is, it continues to exist because God is the sovereign God. That's the kind of God we love and serve. But notice it was through Christ, the agent, that this was made. Ephesians 3:9, the last part of that verse, says it as well, talking about God who created all things by Jesus Christ. And so I submit unto you, you knew, I believe, it to begin with. Genesis 1:1 was sufficient, but I've given you some ample evidence that God created. But let me offer you a few more verses for supporting evidence, if I may. You're still in Isaiah, I trust. Turn, if you would, back to chapter 40. Chapter 40, Isaiah 40. Just note a few verses here. And let who God is sink into your heart, my friend. Isaiah 40, verse 26. "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might, for that He is strong in power, not one faileth." Turn, if you would, to Job. Go back to Job, and notice in chapter 9. The statement that we just read here in Isaiah 40, verse 26, about He created these things, it's a reference to the heavens. He calls them all by name. And so, do you realize and recognize that God has created the heavens and the earth and all the stars that are out there? He calls them all by name. And we know some of those names. And Job, chapter 9. Job speaks and he says in verse 7, referencing God, of course, which commanded the sun, and it rises not, and sealeth up the stars, which alone spreadeth out the heavens, and treadeth upon the waves of the sea, which maketh Arcturus, Orion, and Pleiades, and the chambers of the south. Now, we understand some of these constellations, do we not? Go over to chapter 38, Job 38. And I judge you remember that when Job was arguing with his three friends, that down at the end, Elihu spoke up, and then God speaks, and, well, the Lord answers Job here, and in Job 38, in verse 31, God says, "Canst thou bind the sweet influences of Pleiades, or loose the bands of Orion? Canst thou bring forth Mazaroth in his season, or canst thou guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinance of heaven? Canst thou set the dominion thereof in the earth? Can you control any of that? You cannot. And so as much as the astrologists can look around and they say, well, look at the stars and we can understand some of these things and we see their paths and all the things that they do and we can plot out this and plot out that, and they can't change any of that. The heavens are the heavens because that's the way God set them to be. Remember, He stretched them forth like a curtain. He knows them all by name. And things we've never discovered yet, God has names for those things. And turn, if you would, back to the 148th Psalm. Psalm 148. We send out our piddly little spacecraft, and it gets out there beyond what's that planet? It's no longer a planet. Pluto or whatever it was out there. And it sends back pictures, and we go, oh, look at this and look at that. That's long been understood by God, and He plotted out every path. It's no surprise. He has names for every one of them. But Psalm 148, look at verse 1. Praise ye the Lord, praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise ye Him, all His angels. Praise ye Him, all His hosts. Praise ye Him, sun and moon. Praise ye, praise Him, all ye stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He commanded. So all those things that we are seeing out there, is that just by luck? Is that just by chance? No, He commanded. He created. He spoke these things into existence. Listen to a few verses, if you would. Job 38:4. God speaking to Job says, where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Remember, the ancients among men used to think that Atlas held up the earth. So he's out there and got the earth on his shoulders. That was man's concept. Of course, then they thought it was flat for a long time. God stretched the earth out and hung it upon nothing. And God challenges Job, where were you when I laid the foundations? That's Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Where were you? Well, Job, you weren't there. None of us were there. But did God create it? Yes. He spoke it into existence. God commanded. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 90 and verse 91. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. They continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. The entire creation is at God's beck and call. And they continue because of God's ordinances. We saw that in Colossians, where by Him all things consist. Psalm 136, listen to some of verse 5 down through verse 9. There's the way that the psalmist wrote that psalm out. He talks about the glory of God forever. I'm just going to skip that phrase because it's bulky, but listen to the text. Psalm 136, verse 5 through verse 9 says, to Him that by wisdom made the heavens, to Him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, to Him that made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and the stars to rule by night. And we know about the sun. We can see it through the shining through the windows now. And at night we can see the moon. And so we know about the sun and the moon. Why is it that way? Because God made it that way. Hebrews 11:3 says, through faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's one of the great fallacies of evolution is the origin of things. They think that things came from what was here. But where did that which was here come from? The origin of the universe comes from God. He created it. He spoke it into existence. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 90, the 90th Psalm. Verse 1 and verse 2 says, Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever hadst Thou formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. That's who God is, my friend. I already mentioned about His eternality, that God is eternal. A few more pages, Psalm 95. Psalm 95 and verse 3. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. Notice little g. In His hand are the deep places of the earth, and the strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His, and He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. Notice, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. You see an obligation? Do you see a response of the creation to the Creator? Let us come, let us kneel, let us bow before God who created all these things. So I submit unto you that premise that God is the Creator God, and I gave you verses for that, and I gave you some supporting evidence for that. Let me reach a practical application here. The second premise was God's, or the creation's response to that God, and we just see an indication of that in that last verse that we ought to kneel before the Lord our God. But let's step back for a moment and consider. The title of the message is God, Our Refuge. How can I, or how can you, receive any comfort from the knowledge that God is the Creator? Go to the 124th Psalm, please. Psalm 124. Notice what David says at the end of this psalm. It's the last verse, verse 8. So if you can nail down who God is, here's what David says. Verse 8, Psalm 124, 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. I ask you today, as we look about the political landscape, and you might be stressing over that, and I'm doing my best not to stress over it, to just trust God. Where's our help come from? When you look at the economy, where's our help come from? When we look at physical ailments and the afflictions that we face day after day and week after week, where's our help come from? When we see the news and we see about crime and we see the evil that goes on in our world, where's our help come from? Where am I going to find assistance? Where are you going to find your help? Well, we could give you some New Testament scriptures on that, but this is very good, is it not? Our help is in the name of the Lord. And who is that Lord? He's the one that made the heaven and the earth. That very Creator that we established, the one who has all power, the sovereign God. He is our help. He is our refuge. And I submit unto you, my friend, today, no matter what you're going through, no matter what your troubles are, no matter what your stresses may be, I urge you to consider who the true God of heaven and earth is and turn to Him. Because He alone is your refuge. Secondly, I want to remind you, and I'm going to read these verses to you, that with God, nothing is impossible. I know that's hard for us to put together because we're limited, we're finite beings, and there are a lot of impossible things for us, but with God, nothing is impossible. Keeping in mind that before there was ever anything, He existed. And everything that we see, He spoke into existence. Remember that great power and ability? And so we find in several places in the Scripture, for example, in Luke chapter 1, when Mary says, well, I don't know a man. How in the world could I become pregnant and have the Son of God? And God said, Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you think God, who spoke this world into existence and all the stars and the planets and everything that's out there, do you think that He can have a woman give forth a baby that was conceived of the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. That's who God is. With Him, nothing is impossible. Genesis 18:14 says, is anything too hard for the Lord? Anything too hard for Him? No, He's the Creator. He's the Sustainer. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. This is not as a familiar passage. You might have heard the other two, but you probably haven't heard this one. Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. That's who He is. And that's a God who loved us and gave His life for us and saved us from our sin. And so we read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Who is our resource? Who is our refuge? It is God. Is anything too hard for Him? I didn't say He's going to bow to your whim and answer and give you everything that you desire and remove all the pain and suffering and heartache. I didn't say He would do that. But God can if He chose, because He has that power. He has that ability. He created this all. He can do whatever He decides to do. I just submit unto you that in the midst of your pain, you need to look to the God. He is our help. He is our refuge. Now look to Psalm 33, please. That's the last verse I'll ask you to turn to. Psalm 33. I don't know about you, but I get encouragement from these things. I do. And that's why I want to share it with you. Psalm 33. In that practical application, that the fact that God is the Creator, and then there's the created, the creation's response to Almighty God, is that what we saw later, earlier there in 95 verse 6 about they ought to come and bow before Him. But here in Psalm 33, we'll pick it up in verse 6. We'll read through verse 9, but pay careful attention to verse 8. Psalm 33:6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of His mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth and storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. And I submit unto you that all of creation, especially men, because men are the ones that have the problem with this, the animals do not, the stars do not, the plants do not, but men do. They reject God, and they deny God, and they say there is no God. And the psalmist makes it very clear, let all the earth fear before the Lord. All the inhabitants of the world ought to stand in awe of Him. I remember many years ago, my brother and me were witnessing on the street corner outside this bar. And we were talking to this guy, and it was after midnight sometime. And we were talking to him, trying to convince him that he needed to respond and repent and believe on the Lord and all that. And he didn't believe any of that. And I said, well, you need to be careful, because God is God, and He could take you at any time. And this guy, no joke, he stood up, he stood back from us, stood in the street, raised his fist to God and said, kill me, God, kill me. Do you think that's fear of God? He didn't believe that. He thought he was going to make fun of us. Me and my brother, we both stepped back from him, because we figured this a lightning going to come down and strike this dude. It didn't happen. He got in a car and he drove off with some friends. There's no fear of God before their eyes. That's what the psalm says. Their sins prove it. And this guy had no fear of God. He didn't stand in awe of God. And I wonder today, do you stand in awe of God? So we describe Him as being the Creator and sustainer of the universe. Are you awestruck at who God is? Do you recognize that He is your refuge? Psalm 100 verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We are obligated to God. We ought to respond to God. And so, I've covered my two propositions. Let me offer you a few thoughts in closing. Number one, there is no doubt that we live in troublesome times. No doubt. It's a little bit fearful, and it could be really stressful if you just let it nag at you, but you know what? Where will we turn? Where do we turn? I turn to my Creator. I turn to God who loved me and gave His life for me. Where are you turning to? God is our refuge. Point number two, God, the Creator God, lives. And He rules and reigns in the heavens. He hadn't changed one bit. And before everything was made and He spoke it all into existence, He's the same God. And so come what may in this world, He still lives. Point number three, we as His creatures should submit to Him. Dear sinner, I want you to know, you're lost, you're undone, you need the Savior. You should submit to God. Do you recognize the Bible tells us that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father? You say, I will not. I do not believe and will not believe and will not bow my knee and I will not submit to God. Well, you may not now, but you will one of these days, I guarantee you, because God is the sovereign God and every knee shall bow. We as His creation ought to come before Him. We ought to bow before Him. We ought to be in awe before Him. And so, you may not be a Christian, but you ought to recognize who God is, and that ought to cause you to tremble. We as His creatures ought to submit to Him. Last point is this, and I'm finished. We should also, I believe, take our burdens to Him. Why? Because He is able. He is our help, the one that made heaven and the earth. I encourage you, dear Christian, take your burdens to the Lord and leave it there. Cast your care upon Him. Is He big enough to handle it? Does He have broad enough shoulders? Does He have enough power? Is anything too hard for Him? Is anything constrained to Him? No, no. God, our refuge. That's what we learn from the text. And so make God your refuge today. Sinner, would you be saved? Christian, would you turn your heart and life to Him, trusting in Him, and that He is your refuge? I'd like for us to stand and we'll sing. I really pray that you've received encouragement from the Word of who God is. And He is your refuge. God in heaven, we thank You for the day. Thank You for Your Word. Encourage us by it. We pray for the lost that they might recognize who You are. We pray that You would convict them, draw them to Yourself. We pray that they might be saved. And we who are saved, Lord, help us not to forget that You are God, and help us to know that, Lord, all things are possible with You. Let us turn to You, cast our care upon You, trust You, and, Lord, let us not fear. And so, Lord, we just commit everything to You. We ask it that Your will be done, and we ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Numbers 435.